Wednesday night to another Wednesday night service. If you're wondering where the other pastors are, we have a couple, actually three of them are missing. They're kind of busy tonight. So I'm Pastor Tim. I'll be your host tonight. I just want to welcome all the listeners that have been tuning in throughout the week. Welcome back. And we want to welcome any new visitors that are listening for the first time. This is a safe place to listen for truth. If you're a seeker of God, honestly, God has led you to this website, to these messages. So we're welcome to have you here and listening to us tonight. A couple things I want to start before I start is, if you take a look at these are called prayer aprons. We actually believe by faith to send these out to people that can't get here, but they want a fresh touch from God. Maybe there's an illness, or there's a sickness, or maybe there's a hardship or something that somebody's going through. Well, we actually, the four of us, there's Pastor Jim, Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, myself, we'll actually pray over these, and we believe by faith that God will send forth an angel or send forth His presence to be with these aprons. And we know that God will touch you in a special way. So if you are listening tonight and you have somebody that is ill or needs a fresh touch from God, please log on to our website. It's www.glorytothenations.org. There's an email button on there. You can email us and just send us either your address or what have you, and we'll send one of these out to you. So thank you for listening to that. We've been on a special series here on these Wednesday nights, and there's been a lot of prophetic words that have been going out recently from our ministry. And you know, we don't perpetrate the truth. We speak from the gospel that's within us. There's inside of our heart, there's truth that God has placed in there, because that's where God lives. And He's been manifesting a lot of things to, like, Pastor Jim and Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt and myself, and even the body of the people that come here in fellowship every Sunday and Wednesday night. The truth has been speaking. And as you know, around the world, we're living in tumultuous times. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on around the world, and there's calamities, and there's different things that are happening. And you know, the Bible does say that in the last days there will be perilous times, and that word perilous means danger. It means that there's going to be tough times, there's going to be treacherous times that we're all going to encounter. And you know, Pastor Jim prophesied a few weeks ago that we're going to be inhabiting about four different plagues that are going to take place on the earth. And I had the privileges of speaking to him today, and he said that the third plague has already been released on the earth. Now, we're not here to try to scare anybody. We're not here trying to convince you that there's danger ahead and all kinds of stuff. We speak the word and living word of God that's within us, and all four of us and the people of this ministry, we seek God. You know, we love God with all of our heart, and we just want to hear what God is saying within the hour. That's all we care about is, okay, God, we know that we have a relationship with you. We want to know what is happening in this present hour, and what do we have to do to get saved? You know, because salvation isn't for just eternal life. Salvation's for now as well. You know, salvation is for the times that we're going through. You know, if we don't hear from God, people perish. You know, the Bible says people suffer or are destroyed because of a lack of vision, a lack of knowledge, or the lack of the Word of God. And the Word of God isn't just this Bible that I'm holding up right now. This is a living Word. You know, and we do read it, and we actually look into it, and you know, we don't sit there and we don't go to classes to study this. There's no Bible ministry here, like as far as like a university or anything. But The living word is in your heart. It's God's commandments that he wrote on our hearts. And it's alive and it's living. And God says we are supposed to hold on to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what the word proceeds means, it means it's an ongoing now thing. It happens all the time. It's like current. You know, there's a lot of ministries, a lot of churches out there that believe God's not speaking today. You know, they only go by what happened in the past. Well, that's false. That's an error. That's an error of God. That's not what God's saying. God says every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, where is the mouth of God? That you got to ask yourself, where is the mouth of God? How do you hear the mouth of God? Well, the mouth of God is within your heart. And it takes time to seek God and hear what God's saying on your heart. And it happens through like inspirations, your convictions, any type of unction. You might have a vision. That kind of stuff is what God's saying in that present moment. And we just need to sit here and tap into it to find out what God is saying all the time. Because when we say that we're living in dangerous times, you know, I'm not just talking about in the natural. Because in the natural, I mean, you're going to hear rumors of wars. You're going to hear that there's diseases that are transpiring around the world. In fact, Pastor Jim heard last night, he was watching, I think it was Fox News, and there was a missile that was launched that was not told to anybody that took place, I think, in the north. It exploded, and they said that there's cancerous type of fumes and gases that are being released from this missile that blew up. Now, we're not supposed to be alarmed by it, but we should be forewarned about it, because this stuff is going to happen at these last days. And the last days are just an age that we're coming to at the end. You know, the Bible says that there's many different ages. You know, and Jesus himself even prophesied about the end of ages. Now, this doesn't mean it's like the end of the world. Like the world's going to keep going on and on and on. But there's end of ages. And I believe, in the pastors of this ministry and the people of this ministry believe, we're coming to an end of an age. And it says it in the Bible that God has predestined each age. It says it right here in Hebrews that it says, by faith we understand that the worlds, which are ages, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that were visible. So God predestined the ages. And one thing that we truly believe in here is that with what's happening at the end of the age, with all these different plagues and the different happenings that are going on, it's not to bring punishment necessarily on the people of this world, but it's to get people to look back and turn back to God. That's truly why he does it. If you look through history, through scripture, through the dark ages, the medieval age, all these different ages that took place. What happened towards the end of those ages? Pestilence, turmoil, there was dangerous times, and there was all kinds of plagues that were being poured out because you can go back to when polio was rampant on this world, and it was wiping out generations until they found the cure for the polio virus. Well, that was a plague that was being poured out at that present time. Well, to make a long story short, the same things are happening now, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to be seekers of God. You know, what does it mean to be a seeker of God? It means to tap into what's within your heart so that you can hear God speaking to you on a daily basis. Because that's what it means to have a relationship with God. It's not just me, Tim Westerside, speaking to God through prayer, and I don't hear back from him, because a relationship is a two-way conversation. You know, if I have a relationship with the lovely ladies that are in the front row here, and I'm speaking them on a daily basis, and they're not speaking back to me, that's not a relationship. It's just me speaking. But if they're communicating back and forth, say I'm communicating back and forth with them, that's a relationship. That's why we need to seek God and hear what he has to say, because he hears what we have to say. God says that he hears our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows what our desires are, and they're offered up in prayer. If we seek him with all of our heart, our prayers are being offered up all the time, and God hears it, and he knows what our desires are and what we need. But do we know what God is saying to us? That's the question. And believe it or not, it takes faith. It really takes faith to hear and trust what God is saying in this hour. I'm going to read out of Hebrews for a second. I'm going to give a couple scripture verses out. It says, because a lot of people on the internet that are listening to us tonight, they may not know what faith is. Okay? It says, now faith is the substance, and that word substance means realization. So I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to say, now faith is the realization of things hoped for. It says the evidence, which evidence also means, evidence means confidence. Having confidence of the things not seen. So let me reread that again. Now faith is the realization of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen. So you have to have a confidence in the things that you hope for. Okay? Because everybody has some type of hope that's within them that God put there. You know, God put all your hopes, your desires, your dreams, your visions, your aspirations, your ambitions. All those are from God, but we have to have a confidence to know that God will bring them to pass. That's faith. It's having a realization that you have that inside your heart, and it's also having a confidence to know that they will come to pass. So it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, what's a good testimony? It's by having that faith and holding on to it, despite the fact that the circumstances around you might be falling at your right hand and at your left hand, and you know things might not be looking good, but you're not believing that report. You're believing the report that's within your heart, which is the hope. You know, we have things that we desire. You know, I know guys that are looking to get married, and they just haven't met that person yet, but they're holding out hope. And then there's other peoples, like my brother back here. He met a lovely woman. She's going to come here. You know, sometimes we can't see it because they're thousands of miles apart. But it will happen because God placed it upon your heart, and he's given you the hope to know it. So it will come to pass. You just got to hold on to it. Now, there is dark forces that are out there that come into our ears and into our mind that lie to us and try to discourage us to lose the hope. You know, the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion going around seeking who he may devour. Well, that devil is those lies. It's those forces that come into our mind that try to steal that hope that's within us because they know time is short. You know, every demon that's out there knows the time is short and that we're at the end of an age. They just don't know what the outcome's going to be. But God does, because God's fully in control. Amen? So we just need to realize that we got to hold on to the faith that God gave us. And the Bible says God has given everybody a little bit of faith. But what we do with it matters, because we can grow faith. By the time that you keep holding on to the faith that's within you, and you have that confidence and you have that realization about those hopes and desires that are within you, if you hold on to it, God's going to start growing your faith within you, okay? It's kind of like going from step to step to step to step through all your circumstances. And eventually, all the storms and all the things that are happening in your life will never make an impact in you again, because you have an innumerable amount of faith, and nothing can waver that faith from you. But it starts, you have to start somewhere with it. You got to start somewhere with faith. So if you have a little faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain if you truly believe with confidence that you can do it. And what you can do is you're putting that faith in God. It's not yourself, but it's God within you that he's going to make it happen. So when we're going through these dangerous times that we're speaking about right now, God wants us to put our faith and trust in him. That's the only way that we're going to get through these times. There's no other way. If you have confidence in yourself, that confidence is going to waver, and eventually it's going to give out because of the pressure that we're all going to go through. But if we seek God now while he can be found, because there's a time that's coming when God will not be found. It's true. It says it in the scriptures that seek God at the present time while he can be found. So that means there's a time when he won't be able to be found. Okay? Because think about in the medieval ages, in the dark ages, they started to do away with Bibles. The knowledge of God started to wean out towards the end of that age. Well, what's to say it's not going to happen again? Because when evil's being poured out in the end of times, you know, God's also pouring out a revelation knowledge of who he is. That's really where the only way we can overcome the evil times is by tapping into what God is saying and gaining that revelation knowledge. Like, I can't come up with revelation knowledge of God. Only he can give it. But you got to be open to it. There's a lot of people out in the world that are not open to hearing from God. They don't think God exists because they can't physically see him. He's not a physical form. God is a spirit, and it's a spirit of truth. His truth is authority, and it's within you. You know, how do you think that in the Old Testament they came up with the Old Commandments, or the Ten Commandments? Well, it was within sight of Moses because God put it there. And he spoke to his heart and told him, look, put these commandments on tablets and give them out to the people, because at that present time, they were barbaric. I mean, there were evil times at that time. The Pharaoh and his soldiers were trying to kill them and everything. They just came out of Egypt. So they were accustomed to the evil times. And God said, look, they're not listening because their hearts are stony. So put the commandments on a tablet and give it to them so that they know what my laws are. But we're in an age now where we don't go by the Ten Commandments. We go by the commandments that are on the heart. Look, everybody has a moral values. We all know don't kill, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do this. Everybody should know that, okay? It's common sense. But God's true commandments are laid upon everybody's heart. And he says, I'll write them on your heart and I'll write them on your mind. The only thing is, we got to live by faith. So we got to come to the realization that God's living word and his commandments are on our hearts, and we need to follow them. See, I can't follow my brother back here. I can't follow his commandments. His commandments are on his heart. My commandments are different from his. So I can't judge him and say, hey, he's wrong in what he does or what he follows. And my sister over here, I can't judge her because her commandments may be different than mine. But what we can do is we can come together as one, and we can encourage one another to keep following and trusting in God through the commandments that are written on our heart. And in that sense, that's what makes you righteous in God's eyes. Nothing else. It's not your how many prayers a day or can you pray. It's not how many rosary beads I can actually follow. It's not how much time I can meditate. It's strictly being obedient to the commandments that are on your heart, that God laid upon it, makes you righteous in his eyes. That's the God's honest truth. There's no other truth but that. If somebody's telling you, hey, you got to get inside your cubby hole and you need to pray for 10 hours, well, if it's not on your heart, you're doing it in vain. And that's the truth. What God wants you to do is follow his conviction, follow his leading, his unction, that he's allowing you to do. Because the reason why I'm saying this is, with these dangerous times, if there's something that's happening in the natural, let's say we live in America, okay? Let's say America's under attack, but we don't have a television, we don't have news on or something like that. How are we going to know that there's a danger present? The only way we're going to know is by the inkling of your heart, what God's speaking to your heart and saying, hey, you got to get out of here and you got to move. You got to get going because something's about to happen. So there's like an unction, there's an inspiration that you got to move. You need to follow that. Because if you don't follow that and you ignore it, something terrible is going to happen in your life and you're going to be like, holy crap, I knew that I needed to move, but I didn't do it. And now I'm kind of stuck in this circumstance. But God was saying, hey, I was speaking to your heart. I was telling you to get up and move over here, and you didn't do it, so now you got to pay the consequences. And then, of course, God will slap our wrist. You know, it's kind of like when sometimes you got to scold a child, but then his mercy comes also if we're truly seeking him, and he'll say, you know what? I'll still get you out of the circumstance. I'll still get you through this, you know? But there's always these little penalties that we pay for not listening to the, you know, to our hearts and, our, and the commandments that are written on our hearts. Also in the in this, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, everybody thinks when you diligently seek God, there's a monetary value or something that you're going to get rewarded for. That's not always the case. God rewards us spiritually also. And by what I mean, when you diligently seek him, he might give you more revelation of who he is and who his love and what his love is all about. You know, when we go through circumstances in life, you know, and we're seeking God and saying, okay, God, you know, I got this thing going on in my life, and I need your help. You're crying out to God, and you're seeking him with your heart. You know, God's going to reward you. He's going to get you through that circumstance. He may not do it in that instant. He may not do it within that hour. But eventually, if you continue to hold firm by faith, he will get you out of it. He will help you to overcome that circumstance. It's like a supernatural power. It's like when you're seeking him and you're holding on through faith, it's spirit. And spirit reaches out to spirit because God is spirit. If I'm trying to reason with it, I'm in the natural, God doesn't hear it. God ignores our minds because the Bible even says our minds are enmity between us and God. And that enmity is really is what is like a separation. Our relationship is severed. It's separated from God. And that's why he calls us to come in faith to him. So we need to reach out through faith, not only just to hear God, but to have that relationship with God. You know, and it's not just about, excuse me, it's not just about having faith, but faith with works is what pleases God. You know, and the works that we do are, let's say that I wanted to be an accountant, okay? Let's say God put it on my heart to be an accountant. So I start going to school, and I start taking courses, and I start diving into how to be an accountant. Well, I'm moving by faith because it was on my heart, it was impressed there, and I might have other people telling me, hey, you should be a doctor, hey, you should be this, you should be that, but I ignored what the world was saying, because the world is anything that's outside of your heart. That's truly what the world is. It's either your mind or it's the things that are outside of your heart. They're influences. So if you ignore that and keep following your heart, that is working out your salvation. That's working by faith. That's putting faith and works together, and God's going to reward you for it. You know, and it takes time, so we need patience and perseverance when you're walking by faith and having works with faith, because it's not going to always happen in an instant. Excuse me. You need patience. That's why he says you need to hold on. You know, the Bible says, stand at the altar of God, and there's horns, and just grab the horns and you stand. If you've done everything that you can do, stand and watch and see what God does then. When you do all that you can do, it means you had faith and you had works mixed together, and it was pleasing God's sight. But it doesn't mean that that's the end. It means that you're still ongoing this path that God's called you to do, and you got to stand firm on it with confidence in knowing that God's going to fulfill it. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about these patriarchs that were in the Bible of our faith. Some of them didn't even see the final result of their faith, but they held on with all they could, knowing that God was going to fulfill it. And some of them didn't even see it fulfilled. They were rewarded in a heavenly place, though, because God saw their heart. He said, they're righteous in my eyes because of their faith. And they worked with faith to get to the point where they were. And for whatever reason, like Pastor Jim and I were talking today about faith and works and how these people were holding on in faith, and some of them didn't see the blessing at the end. Was it because maybe at the very end they were still a little bit wavering? You know, maybe they started reasoning because it took so long, and they were waiting and waiting and patiently waiting, and they finally may have given up. I mean, God doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to give up our will, but he doesn't want us to give up faith and hope and the works that we're doing with faith. You know, if you have something going on in your life and you believe something, hold on to it. Keep that desire and keep that hope alive and watch and see what God does. Because the longer we wait, the greater the blessing. You know, it's going to make us cry out in our heart for thankfulness, and we're going to be so thankful to God when it's fulfilled. I mean, that's what he longs for. He longs for worship. And God says, the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and truth. Well, the truth is in your heart, and spirit is the faith. That's the only way we can please God. And the true worship is when you actually hear and listen to the commandments that are on your heart and you start acting on it. That's what a true worshiper is. That gives off worship to God. It's not how many prayers that we offer up. It's not how many meditations that we're doing a day. It's not just works by itself, but it's obeying through obedience the desires and the commandments that are on your heart and acting on it. You know, he says, be a hearer and a doer of the word. Well, the word is on your heart. It's those commandments that he placed on it. If you act on it and you hold the faith, man, I'm telling you what, he's going to say, well done, my faithful servant. But if we're just a hearer of the word, I mean, some people do hear the word of God, but fear comes in or something else comes in. Maybe because their imaginations are saying, there's no way possible that's going to happen. And they ignore it. Well, God can't credit you. You know, because I believe we're storing up treasures in heaven. And I believe it's by the times that we always stand by faith and we're hearers and doers of the word that's within us is where he starts giving us those credits. It's nothing else. It's not my works of saying, you know, I was listening to a guy the other day on the radio and he was like, oh, yeah, you know, we go out and five times a week we give food to the poor and, you know, we do this, we give out clothes, and, you know, he's bragging about it and everything. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe one or two people, it is a commandment that's on their heart to do it. But when you hold yourself accountable to just hearing this living word that's in the Bible and saying, hey, it says go out and preach the gospel, it says go out and feed the poor, it says go heal the... If you're only just doing that because that's all you believe, but there's really no conviction that's on your heart, it's in vain. You know, what does the Bible say? It says, be gone, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. It's because you're just following this, but you're not following the true living word that's living inside of you. You're not following it. You know, there's people that I know that have told me that, man, I knew I should have done this 10 years ago, and I never followed it. I was too scared. I was worried about what people were going to say. I was worried about my finances. Well, if the conviction's still there, it's not too late. You know, God says we fall short of his grace, but then it's not to say that he can't allow us to then have mercy on us to allow us to start doing it again if it's still on our heart. You know, I'm to the point where, you know, if something is on your heart and it needs to be fulfilled and it's still a conviction there, take the step in faith and walk in it. Start being a doer of it. And watch what God does. You know, I had an interesting thing that happened to me this morning. I'm usually a dead sleeper. I mean, I sleep until the alarm goes off. Well, this morning I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was like wide awake. I'm like, holy smokes, what's going on? So God started speaking to me in my heart saying, test me by your faith. And I was like, okay, God, what do you mean? Test me by your faith. You know, because we always heard the religious people always saying, oh, you got to test God, and the only thing you could test God is by your offerings. Like it says in the scriptures here about in Malachi that the only way we can test God is through what we give our offerings or give our tithings. That's wrong. You test God by your faith. And how we test God by our faith is, we were just talking about if there's an unction or an inspiration that's inside of our heart, well, that's God's word, that's his commandment. The only way we can test them is by A, having a realization that it's there. Second, start walking in it. Start being a doer of that word that's within you. That's testing God. Because I'm saying, okay, God, I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is I have a conviction to do this. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I just know that you're going to complete the process and that I have to have confidence to know that every step that I take in doing this, God is going to fulfill it. You know, God will fulfill every need as you walk by faith. He'll bring people into your life that needs to come into your life. He'll take away people that he needs to take away. He'll bring, like say you're looking for work, okay? If you get out and start seeking for work because you have a conviction that you want to work, he'll line up the proper job to you because it's already predestined. But if I don't act on it, it's never going to come to pass. You know, if I have a conviction to get a job and I don't have a job at the present time and I don't act on that conviction, it won't come to pass. God's saying, hey, I just put the conviction in you. Go do it. And I'm sitting there saying, no, God, I'm going to wait on you. That's wrong because I'm hearing the word, but I'm not doing the word. So God wants you to start acting on the faith that you have. And watch what he does. Watch how he fulfills your life. And that truly brings eternal life because, I tell you what, how many people like surprises? Because I love surprises. I love when stuff happens and I don't know it's going to happen and I get surprised. There's so much joy that bubbles up within me saying, wow, I can't believe this happened. It's like you're floating on cloud nine, right? Well, that's the same thing by walking by faith. When you walk by faith and you're acting on your faith, you're acting on that conviction, God starts to fulfill things and brings things in your life. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe how good this is. And you start to feel good about it. You feel good about God, and there's a thankfulness and a gratefulness that God brought these things into your life. And as you continue to walk on it, that's what eternal life is, because it's eternal life now. It's not when we die. It's present time now, because, you know, the four pastors, we always say that wherever you leave this present place in your heart, whatever state it is, that's where it's going to be in a heavenly place. So let's say I'm a miserable pig. Let's say I'm depressed. I'm never thankful or grateful. I'm miserable. I complain all the time. And then I pass away and leave this present earth, and I'm in a heavenly place. That's where your heart is. That's what state you're going to be in. So God's always saying, hey, repent. The kingdom of God's at hand. All right, start changing the way we're thinking. Okay, let's start being grateful. But I think he gives us that gratefulness when we start acting on faith. When we have that faith with that conviction, that unction, the inspirations, those desires, any dreams that you have, if you start to act on it, that starts to change not only your mindset, but it changes your heart. It really does change your heart because your heart starts to bubble up with joy. You know, if you want to do something and you don't do it, how do you feel? You feel yucky, don't you? You're like, man, you know what? I should have done that. I should have went and did this. It was on my heart to do it, and I didn't do it. Now you have a regret. Now you feel like crap. And God's saying, no, just start acting on those things and watch what happens, because he wants to fulfill every desire of our heart. You know why? Because he wants to bring us eternal joy, peace, and righteousness. And that's salvation. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He started the salvation and the work that's within us, and he'll finish it. But how he finishes it is because we have the faith to walk in it. and believe with confidence that he's going to do it. We need to hold on to that. And I'm going to flip over. I'm going to read another verse here. It's in John. And this was Jesus speaking about intercessory prayer. Now, Jesus, we always say, there's a lot of people out there that worship Jesus. And you know what? God's intention wasn't for us to worship him. It was to give him honor. It was to say, you know what? He's the first son of many sons. He's the first brother of many brothers and sisters that are coming into this faith. You know, he was one of the first in the New Testament to have this unconditional reliance on God, where this immeasurable amount of faith with works. Because, you know, when he was at the wedding and they asked him to change the water into wine, he had the faith to believe it, but he had to act on it, or that would have never happened. You know, it's like when he was praying for the blind and he saw, okay, you know what? God wants to heal this guy, but how's it going to work? So he sought God within him and said, okay, God's saying, pick up dirt, spit in it, create mud, and slap it on the guy's eyes, you know, and then let the scales fall off his eyes, and then he could see. Well, how did he know to do that? It's because of the word of God that's within him. It's the commandments. It's the unctions. It's the inspiration that God put in him to do it. So that's why he was like a master of faith with works. So listen to this. This is in John. It says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to the heavens and said, Father, the hour has come, and glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. So his all intentions within him was, God, glorify me so I can glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should have eternal life, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Because if he didn't send Jesus Christ, there's no way the people would have known who God was, because God was using him, and through him was miracles, signs, and wonders. He was attested by God so that people could see that God was with them, because they couldn't see God. Everything was kind of more laws and religion and things like that. So God had to send Jesus Christ into the earth so that people could see the true living God manifested before them. So it says, I have glorified you on the earth, and I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Okay, so he had faith, and he also had work, and he completed it. It says, now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you have gave them to me, and they have kept your word. That's important. We need to keep his word. No matter what that word is, I mean, my daughter Rain is 7 years old, and she has the word of wanting to be a vet. And that's all she talks about, is wanting to be a veterinarian. She loves animals. And she's starting to pursue it because she's studying it. She watches shows on it. So she has a faith to believe to be a vet, but she's acting on it. It's like childlike faith. You know, all of us have a childlike faith. We just need to act on it. But in the end, we need to keep the word. If we lose the word, I don't know what the consequences are. You know, we don't want to lose the word that's within us, because God placed it there. It's God's word. It says, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. You know, it's the same thing with this ministry. You know, I'm not praying for people out in the world that choose reasoning and they don't really care about God. I pray for those that are made themselves a part of this ministry, and the people that are logging on, listening to these messages. I pray for you that you come into the right standing and right relationship with God, and you can hear his voice. You know, and you can have that relationship with God. That's who I pray for. I don't care about the other people out there. I really don't. I don't know them. I'm only concerned with the ones that God has given us. And it says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. That's our whole prayer. You know, you come into the faith, and you're a doer of the word, and you become one with the Father. That's truly becoming one with the Father. When he put his commandments on your heart, and you become those commandments by following them, you become one with the Father. That's really what it means. I mean, God laid commandments on Jesus' heart that he had to carry out and follow to his death, but he carried it out, and he became one with the Father. And that's all for us. It's all for us. It's not just Jesus. It's everyone. Everyone has the commandments that are written on your heart because God created everyone. And all we got to do is follow them. Believe in it. Hold on to it and do it. And you become one with the Father. And it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Everybody assumed Judas carried out this thing against Jesus because of the evil. It was because God put it in Scripture saying he has to be the one to carry out this. It wasn't because of evil. It was because God allowed it to happen because he needed somebody to betray Jesus in order for him to go to the cross. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And look, the joy is only by the way you walk by faith. You know, that's how you get the joy. If I'm not walking by faith, I'm miserable. I am. I feel like I'm bottled up inside and there's no escaping. But when I start to walk by faith, I feel like I come out of this box and there's a joy that starts to bubble up within me because I start to see God fulfilling my desires and my needs and things that are happening in my life. It says, I have given you them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. You know why? Because they're not a reasoning. They're not trying to figure out things and trying to do it themselves. The world hates them, you know? It says, just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's the one we were talking about earlier, trying to come in through imaginations, trying to snare away the faith that's within you, trying to steal it. It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. It says, sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. The living word that's on your heart is your truth. Nothing else. If I try to tell you something and the truth that's within you doesn't bear witness, it's not truth to you. Like if I went to my brother back here and I said, hey, you know what? Leave your job. You need to go into the be an accountant. And that's not bearing witness, it's not truth. Because what I say has to bear witness within you. If what I'm saying tonight doesn't bear witness, it is what it is, right? So it says, sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth, by the commandments that are on your heart. That's how you're sanctified, because you're following it, and that's your truth. You know, in the Bible, it says when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, he asked Jesus, what is truth? Because he saw that there was a conviction on Jesus to go to the cross, and he wasn't defending himself. He's like, look, the only power you have over me is what my Father gives you. And if it's his will and he puts on your heart to crucify me, then that's God. So he's saying, what is truth? Well, the truth is, hey, I followed a conviction. I ended up here. That's my truth. It says, I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. We become one with God, and he becomes one with us. And the only way we can become one with God is by following the commandments that he placed on our heart, and it becomes a solid confidence of truth. That's truth. Becoming one with God inside your heart through the commandments that he placed there. Following that conviction and holding on to it till the end. And he will say, "Well done, my faithful servant." He'll say it. I know that word. and that's our promise to you today. Despite the fact that times are bad out there, if you hold on to the faith that's within you, come to know that there's hopes and desires are within you, you hold on to it, you do it, you become one with God, you will be protected. All these things will pass over you. You won't get burnt. You won't get hurt. God is with you. God's with us. Amen. We just want to thank everybody for logging on tonight. Tune in this Sunday at 10 o'clock. We have a worship. It's a fabulous worship team. They get up here. They get into the Spirit. They sing from their heart. God's presence is with them. If you can get out here, we welcome you out here to listen. And then we also have a service at 11 o'clock. If you can't make it out on Sundays, we also have Wednesday nights. You can come out on a Wednesday night, starts at 7:30. Or tune into our website, www.glorytothenations.org, and you can also go on there and listen to all the audio messages and tune into what we've been speaking through this series that we've been talking about. So everybody have a nice night. Go in peace. God bless everybody, and we'll hopefully see you Sunday.